I want this morning to try and to leave you four alls in the Bible to encourage us in these days in which we live. First of all, I remember reading of a poor Scottish weaver who had to conduct the service one Sunday as the minister didn't turn up. And he got up and he quoted three texts of Scripture. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "That's my sins away," he said. And then he read Luke 12:6-7. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And he simply said, "That's my cares away." And then he went to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And he simply said, "That's myself away." And that was his sermon. What a short message, and yet how true it was. Simple words of God to cover all aspects of his life and his experience. But I want us to look at four alls in the Bible and encourage our hearts in this evil age in which we live. No one knows what lies ahead in 2016. The world is moving at such a fast pace, and things are changing overnight, whereas it took 10 or 20 years away back, and even 20 years and 30 years and days gone past for things to change. But now you get up in the morning and suddenly the whole scene has changed. The first one we're going to look at is the one that a Scottish weaver had in 1 John 1:7. "All my sins gone. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now, of course, there is nothing in life that is so important as the forgiveness of our sin. The sin that we are born with, that we have committed daily, builds up like a great account before God. Sin keeps us from God. Sin will destroy our life in this world. Sin will keep us out of heaven. We only have to watch our news programs to realize the devastation of sin in the world today. And it's only when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the enormity of our sin, our own personal sin, that we seek to get rid of it. You know, why is it that people today in Londonderry this morning, right across Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland, yea, across most of the Great Britain today, why is it that there's no move of God the Holy Ghost and conviction of sin upon the hearts and minds of men and women, and they're not getting saved? Why would a person that doesn't realize that they're a sinner, that they're lost, that they're on the road to a lost sinner's hell, why would they ever want salvation? You know, you don't go to a doctor unless that you feel that you're ill. But there's many goes to doctors in this country, and they don't go for the reason of something wrong with them. They go to get their name on a list for the benefits that they're going to get down the line. But generally speaking, someone only goes to a doctor when they realize there is something wrong and they want to seek a cure. And you know, until men and women and boys and girls realize the enormity of their sin. You know, I've had doors and people have said, oh, but sure, everybody's a sinner. I said, that's right. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I said, you're a sinner. Now, that's a different matter. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to listen to that. And I wonder, is there someone in the church today, and you've been brought up on the gospel. You know the gospel inside out. And yet you're a sinner. You realize that you're a sinner, but it hasn't gripped your soul, the enormity of your sin, and what it's going to do to you, and how it's going to take you down into a lost sinner's hell. The forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future, is something that we all need. From all the sins in the past, the sins of omission and sins of commission, the sins in the secret chamber of your own heart are seen and known by the world. Sins before conversion, sins after conversion, sins against God and against man, from them all are clean when they come to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since an honest acknowledgement of what you are and what you've done, you have brought them to the open fountain of the Redeemer's blood. And this, all that we have here, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, that is tremendous. That today you and I, sitting in this church in Londonderry, that are saved by God's grace, we have had our sins all washed away. Not some of them. You see, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, he died for our sins past, our sins present, and our sins future. All gone, paid for by Jesus on Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If you're saved this morning, you should be rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins, to thank God for your salvation. But you know, if you're here and you're not saved, then that sin that is in your life, the judgment of God is upon you for your sin. And the minute that you die, you're going to end up in a lost sinner's hell to be punished forever. And you know, that was brought through to me there during the last week. I seem to be doing nothing but going to funerals at the present minute. Whether it's the weather or what it is, I don't know, but there's a lot of people. But I was at a funeral, and I was sitting in the church, and I think I maybe told them at the prayer meeting the other night, but there was an order of service. It was Church of Ireland. I've never seen an order of service before that took in every aspect of it. And the first bit was simply that the person had been baptized into Christ. And that was enough, basically, for his salvation. And you know, I sat in that church and I thought, 300-400 people, the majority of them, Church of Ireland people, depending upon their baptism to get them to heaven. What a shock it is going to be when they arrive in a lost sinner's hell. You see, unless we repent of our sins, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save us, we will never enter God's heaven. And if you're here, maybe, you know, it's one thing to go from a pub, from a bar stool, as they say, into a lost sinner's hell, but to go from a church pew. Maybe you're brought up in the free church, brought up in the Sunday school, taught by faithful teachers, listened to faithful preaching for years, and you're still not saved. What a shock it's going to be. All my sins gone. Is your sins gone this morning? I trust that they are. And if you're saved by God's grace, then all our sins are gone into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And then we want to move to Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19. But here we have another all. Philippians 4 and verse 19, all my needs met, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not all our greed, but all our need. God chooses to give his children what will do them good in this life. Some have prospered in job or their own business so that they can support the work of God and help others that are in need. Yet in some cases he withholds blessings to teach us to depend fully on him for our daily bread. You remember Elijah. God used him in a tremendous revival. And then we find him suddenly running scared of a woman. Now, I know none of you men would admit this morning that you're scared of a woman. But maybe when you're at home it's a different thing entirely. But here we have Elijah, and he's in serious trouble. He's scared of this woman. And 1 Kings 6 and 7, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. In his extremity, God came and provided for him. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And there he was. But you know, God's supply of water, even though it had appeared to have gone. In 1 Kings 17:9 it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And surely Elijah could say, "My God shall supply and has supplied all my needs." And you know, this goes far beyond the temporal blessings. It opens us up to the treasury of divine grace, the mercy of God, the protection of God from the devil, who is the enemy of the soul of believers. Maybe today you have a great need in your life. No one knows about it. Remember, God is at hand to meet that need. And you know, as we listen to the news at the minute and read of the martyrs who are being, or the people who are being martyred in these lands by the Islamic people, or IS, we have to realize that God gives them martyr grace. You know, the thing that always amazes me when you read of the martyrs in days gone past, they walk down the street to the stake to be tied and to be burnt. Now, if somebody was to ask you or me this morning to walk down to the center of Londonderry and there was a stake and you were going to be tied at it, I know where some of us would be. Going out over the hill as fast as you could go. But here was those servants. Why did they stay? Why did they walk down? Why could they stand at the stake and witness? Because God met their need and gave them martyr's grace that you and I don't have today and don't need. But if the day comes that we do need it, God will supply all our need. And 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We are being attacked today by the devil. He's as a roaring lion, and he's seeking to devour each child of God. Psalm 34 and 10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Psalm 84 and verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." What a God we have. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My dear friend this morning, but my God shall supply all your need if we live close to the Lord, if we depend upon the Lord day by day, then he will supply our need. But you know, sometimes the child of God goes his own way. Remember a man, maybe I told you before, but he had committed adultery. He said to me, you know, Ronnie, he says, it wasn't me, it was the devil. He says, you're talking nonsense. He says, what do you mean? I said, the devil tempted you. God gave you a way of escape, but you went and committed adultery, and don't blame anybody else but yourself. And I said, you'll never get forgiveness from God until you're like the psalmist David when he cried unto God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, as a Christian, when we sin, we must come and confess our sins to the Lord, and he promises to forgive us our sin. And what a change that is whenever God cleanses us afresh in his precious blood. My God shall supply all your need. Let us live close to him. All my sins gone, all my needs met. But then if we turn over to Romans 8:28, we have another all there. All things for my good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things working together for good. Many things in life we don't understand. The heartaches, the trials, the problems that we face day by day. Sickness, death, family going astray. Some families' trouble seems to follow them one problem after another. Suicide, even amongst God's people, is happening too often. And the question arises, why? I can't answer that, nor can you. We must leave what we don't understand with the Lord. In the providence of God, he allows all things to happen. We do know, of course, that the devil steps in when people are at their lowest and tempts them to break God's law by assuring them that they're better off dead for the sake of their family. Different people have told me that. One man in particular said, you know, he says, I almost committed suicide. He says, I feel that I would be better gone for the sake of my wife and my family. I said, you know who told you that? No, he says, I don't. I said, the devil. He says, what do you mean? Well, I said, there's one thing certain, it wasn't God said it. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. End of story. And I said, if you stopped to think for 1 minute about it, I said, if you had have done it, you would have left your family in a mess for the rest of their life, wondering why. He says, I never thought of it. Well, I said, the devil tempted you. I said, you had a lot of problems, and I knew his thing, health problems and everything else. And I said, when you were at your lowest point, the old devil came in. Did he not do the same with the Lord Jesus whenever he was being tempted? Whenever he had gone without food, and when he was at his lowest ebb, the devil came in. And I said, the devil came in. He said, I never thought about it. Well, I said, you can think about it now. And so he did. Oh, let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord that we will be able to stand in the day of temptation. 2016 will not be any easier than 2015, yet believe God is in control of all things. God allows all things to come to pass. He is the sovereign God of all the earth. A lot of problems, of course, we bring on ourselves by our greed, by pride of self or sin in our life. I was in home base one day, and this young fellow at the till, he said, "Have you got a credit card?" He says, "We're trying to sell or sign you up for a credit card." I said, "Them things are a total, utter disaster." He says, "You're dead right." I said, "I have one, but I wouldn't want any more. It's either put more people in debt." He says, "You don't have to tell me that." He says, "I have one," he says, "and I ended up with, I think it was £400 or £500 on it, and I couldn't pay it." And he said, "My dad had to pay it." And he says, "He told me if I've ever done it again, he would kill me." You know, that's what our own heart takes us down to do sometimes. And then we blame God and blame everybody else. Debt through overspend, and that young man had learned the lesson. Let us in every circumstance of life not try to find answers when God alone knows the why. I remember an elder in one of our churches, maybe told you before, he ended up in hospital with severe pain. But he said, "You know, when I was lying in that hospital bed and looking up," he says, "God spoke to me again about a sin that was in my life." He said, "There I had a battle on the hospital bed, and I confessed it and cried unto God to forgive me." He said, "The pain left. They got out of hospital and it's never been back since." God is in control. Let us say, "I can't know why it's happening, but my God, I trust you through it all." One day when we get to heaven, we will understand it all by and by. And so it is with the various afflictions and troubles and distresses that come to the people of God. We may judge them to be evils, but they are blessings in disguise. If we could only interpret them aright, we discover in each of them there is a token of heavenly love. And you know, there was a woman this morning on the radio, and she was from the Iron Hall. I happened to put it on. Most Sundays you have to put it off. But she was from the Iron Hall, and she gave her testimony, and she had diagnosed with breast cancer I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. And she had went through the treatment and is now clear. And she said, someone said to her, "What about it?" Well, she said, "You know, the Lord taught her many lessons to depend on him through it all. And he allowed it to happen to her for a purpose." She said, "It drew her to depend on God completely. All other props were gone. And God brought her through." Not all can do that, of course, but she did and was able to do it. All things, not some things, are for our good, but let us thank God through the bad times as well as the good. Of course, we don't always agree with God's timing. You take death of a young person, ill health of a believer, and we can't accept sometimes, but let us accept that God allows it to happen for a purpose. And when we get to heaven, that first few hours that we're there, and we have perfect knowledge and look back over our lifetime, we will see that God's hand was upon it for good. And the things that we could not understand in life, we will then understand that our God knew the end from the beginning. And then lastly, we are turning to 1 Peter and to the chapter 5 and the verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 7. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a verse for today. This world is a very complicated place to live in. For the saved of the Lord, it is no different from the rest of society. In fact, it's even worse, for the world hates God and his laws. And those of us who stand firm for what the Bible teaches, Job 5:7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And John 15:18, if the world hit you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you and I, as God's children, the world hates us if we take our stand for the truth of God's word. And we have seen that in recent days with Pastor McConnell. And we see it coming up now and next week at the beginning of February with the Asher Bakery case. When they took their stand for the truth of God's word, the whole world was against them. But thank God for the Christians that have stood behind them and prayed for them. And we need to pray in these days that the Asher Bakery case will even be overthrown. But the world hates us. And those that are involved in sin hates us. But thank God we have one that we can take our cares to. The only way to obtain relief under the cares that often are our lot in life is to cast them all on God. We must bring them to our Father. And we must leave them there. We must tell him our cares and our problems and our troubles and our heartaches. When the cares of life seem to be never ending and you feel you're at wit's end corner, go alone into your bedroom and tell the Lord how you feel. You know, you don't have to go to the doctor to be told that you're depressed. Because the Bible says man's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And everybody goes through the lows. But you know, whenever we come to the Lord, he will understand how you feel and will never tell anyone. So you can confide in him completely and have confidence enough in him to know that he will not neglect that which you commit to him. I have found round the doors that one of the biggest problems today is that people has no one to talk to. They're scared to talk to people. Why? Because they might as well put it in the Belfast Telegraph. You know, there's people go to people's houses just to hear what their problems are, and then they're not out of the door till they're on. Well, it used to be you had to put it in the paper, but now you go on the mobile phone. And they can't wait to get spreading it. Instead of listening to the people. But thank God there is one that you can take all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that you can go out onto the hills or go into your bedroom and close the door and say, Lord, I'm beat. I'm as far as I can go. Help me. And he will help you. Why? Because you're his child. He'll carry you. Remember being in the hospital, a woman had a stroke. And she was sitting with a Bible and she was trying to read it and the tears was in her eyes. And she was paralyzed down one side a bit. And she says, you know, I'm trying to read. I said, what are you doing that for? Oh, she said, there was somebody in them that told me that I needed to pray more and read more now that I have a stroke and I'm in the hospital. I said, total nonsense. She says, what do you mean? I said, who carried you when you were a child, when you couldn't walk? She says, my father and mother. I said, that's right. I said, when you're in trouble as a Christian, you have a heavenly father who will carry you. And whenever you get back on your feet again, you will be able to pray and you'll be able to read. And you know, she closed the Bible over and she wept. She said, I couldn't think and I can't even pray. She says, I don't even try. The Lord God is our Heavenly Father, and He will carry us when we're not fit to walk ourselves. And then, when we begin to come round, He will encourage us again to pray and to read. My dear friend, we have a God who knows us inside out. A God who we can come to with casting all your cares upon Him. Because He thinks upon us. He hears our every sigh and groan. He marks every tear. He knows every sorrow that weighs upon the mind, that said we should leave them with the Lord. But you know, that's the hard thing, to leave it there, isn't it? It's all right saying take your cares to the Lord and you can go, and but you're inclined to bring them back with you, aren't you? That's human beings. But we should leave them with the Lord. Now, you can't forget your problems, but you leave them with the Lord, and He will help you to cope and guide you through the cares of everyday living. He will help you to cope with the problems. Of course, if you watch Sky TV and these Americans, all you have to do to get rid of your cares is send them off £100. And the next morning there'll be a Mercedes sitting at your door. And all your bills will be paid for you. Living in cuckoo land. My dear friend, our God is a God who deals with us individually. He loves us. He cares for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And when we're in trouble and take our problems to Him, He will come aside with us and He'll help us to cope and He'll help us through those problems. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 48, verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Oh, let us, as the cleansed of the Lord, cleansed from all sin, all my sins gone, as all your sins gone, this morning, I trust they are. If not, you can come and get saved this morning. Don't leave the church till you come, put your trust and faith in Christ. And then you can say, all my sins are gone. If you have a need, all my needs met. If you can't understand what's happening in your life, believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And with the cares of life that we have, the problems of life, and life is not easy, we can cast our cares upon the Lord and know that He will come alongside us and He'll carry us through to the other side. What a wonderful God we have. I trust as a child of God that you thank Him and praise Him every day for all that He has done for you and is doing for you. And if you're not saved, that you will come and get into Christ, get rid of your sins, all of your sins, and be ready for that great accounting day. May the Lord bless these few words to our hearts and help us today.